Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We're studying God's grace in the church, and in just a moment, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. This is our way of remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And in just a moment, as a part of our message today, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have put your faith and trust in Christ alone for your salvation, then you are invited to take part. If you are wrestling with whether or not to give your life to Christ, it's okay. It's okay if you don't take the elements of the Lord's Supper. It's not anything to worry about or be embarrassed of. You're here seeking to know the Lord, but I want you to know that the Lord's Supper is reserved for those that are believers in Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that in just a minute and talk about the Lord's Supper. Well, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded His church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Paul is a fool for Christ. The title of today's message is A Fool for Christ. Now, when we think about Paul being a fool for Christ, we think about the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He was writing to this church, and he says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And Paul obviously believed that, and the people of Corinth rebelled against Paul and his message, and other, quote, super apostles, those that thought they were the ones that ought to be leading the church, got involved, and the people began to follow them. Well, the word got back to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote two letters to them. He actually wrote three. We only have two of them. And 1st and 2nd Corinthians are those books of the Bible that we have. There were letters back to the Corinthian church. Well, he wrote 2nd Corinthians, which is the book we're studying, as a result of Titus coming to him and saying, "We believe the tide has turned. There are those that are now following you, and the majority of the church is following the gospel. They're following the true gospel." And yet there were still those that were criticizing Paul. They said he doesn't speak eloquently. He doesn't have the stature for it. He doesn't even take offerings. If you're really a real apostle, you're supposed to take offerings, and he didn't do that. And so so part of his letter is not only talking about how to be corrected, they should be corrected in their following of the gospel, but he's also going to defend himself. So when he says, when we talk about him in this passage being a fool for Christ, he's a fool because he says, "I'm doing something you should not do. I'm going to boast in myself." You know, Jesus Christ came to be a servant, and he boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he came to serve, and we are to be his followers in serving others. But part of it is humility that takes place. Paul says, you saw how I lived. You know that I lived with you in mind. In our last message, we talked about the jealousy of Paul and his conduct. He was jealous for the people. He was not wanting them to follow him. He was wanting them to follow Jesus. We talked about his generosity. They talked about his consistency. But Paul is saying, look, I realize that for some of you, I'm going to have to compare myself to these that think they're the super apostles. He's going to do something that he knows is foolish, but he's going to do it in a way that honors the Lord. He's going to do it that way. He's actually going to boast in himself, and he admits it's foolish to do that. If you have to boast in yourself, then I would say that you need to do it in the way that Paul does it in this passage. The commentator and scholar Best says this: most of those who boast do not realize they are doing it. Okay? It is a sign of grace on Paul's part that he did realize and that he saw its foolishness. Since a comparison with others is inherent in boasting, it may involve belittling them. Since it is never far away from exaggeration, there is the continual danger of untruth. Well, we're going to look at a few verses here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin with verse 16 and read through verse 25, okay? 2 Corinthians 11, 16 to 25. And I'll read it from my copy of God's Word. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. This is 2 Corinthians 11, 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. See that? He's saying it's not a good thing to boast a little. But he said, just count me as a fool. I'm going to do it. Okay? What I speak out according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. Verse 19, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. He's gonna be bold. He's going to speak foolishly and boast in himself. Verse 22, here's where he starts it. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Talking about these super apostles that he's writing against. He says, are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He can't even bring himself to call them ministers of Christ. He says, I'm really a fool. I'm beside myself when I say that. But he said, just for argument's sake, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. For the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Verse 25. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. If you go back and look at verse 1 of our chapter, okay? He tells you he's going to boast. He says in verse 1, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do hear with me. And indeed, you do bear with me. He's going to go into some folly. He's going to talk about boasting. But he doesn't even get to it until verse 22. He cannot bring himself to it. I think about the Apostle Paul as a fool for Christ, and he's going to endeavor to try to boast about himself. He eventually is having to compare himself to these people that are comparing themselves to him. So there's three little sections of this text that I want you to get. Here's the first one, Paul's reluctance to boast. In verses 16 through 18, he uses the word boasting 16 times in the last three chapters of this book. But he doesn't want to boast in himself. He's tried to sway away from it. Everywhere in the text, He is trying to get away from boasting in himself. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to boast because it's foolish. He says it's foolish. He says, I don't want to do it. But he said, if I have to be a fool, then I'll boast right now. I'm going to do that because it's going to take some of you, me comparing myself to these other, quote, super apostles that are putting me down. I'm going to have to compare myself. But he's committed to humility. Many promises in God's Word relate to being humble. Humility is a tremendous quality. God resisteth the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. God resists the proud. And so these people were proud. These, quote, super apostles were proud. He doesn't want to boast. He's reluctant to boast because it's foolish. Jesus said, follow me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus was an example of humility, and even though he was the Son of God. They were saying, Paul's an ordinary man. He says, the point is, can you boast and stay humble at the same time? It's very difficult to do that. It's like the guy that came to church, he had a big ribbon on his thing, and he said, and it said, Humility Award. You know, it's hard to be humble and not boast. It's hard to be boastful and be humble at the same time. And so anyway, so can you do that? Well, can you be humble with success? I heard years ago the greatest challenge is not necessarily standing strong for Jesus in the midst of difficulty, but it's in the midst of success. What do you do with success? Well, Paul was successful in all that he did, and yet he was still not wanting to boast about his own successes. But he says, I've just got to do it. I've got to do it. It's boasting, but he's reluctant to do it. Look at verse 16. He says in verse 16, I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. The word a little is the word for micron. He's saying, just bear with me. I'm just going to give a little bit of my credentials, okay? And I want you to know that I can stand up against these that are trying to take your attention, okay? Now, he says in verse 17, he says, what I speak not according to the Lord. What that means is the example of Jesus was, this is doing it this way, boasting as these people were doing, and even boasting as Paul was about to do, was not in the pattern of the Lord. He says, because he says, for me to live is Christ. It's not me boasting in the accomplishments that I've done. So there's no model of this in Christ, okay? There's no model of this in Christ. He said, many boast according to the flesh in verse 18. That phrase, boasting according to the flesh, is in a worldly way. 1 Corinthians 1:12 says, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. People were boasting and positioning themselves about who they were under instead of just exalting Jesus Christ. They were saying, look, I'm the group that's of Paul. I'm the group that's of Apollos. They were boasting according to the flesh, and the Gentiles of Corinth were big on outward appearance, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. So we should not be boasting in ourselves, and yet he says, I've got to do it, but he hadn't done it yet. He goes on some more verses, and he doesn't get to it until verse 22. What else does he do, though, prior to his reluctance to boast? He ridicules. We see Paul's ridicule of boasting. You know what he does? He uses sarcasm. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, he says this. He says, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. He's using sarcasm. It's not always the greatest quality to be sarcastic, but in Paul's writing to them, he's trying to use sarcasm here to show them, you think you're so wise and you put up with these fools. These people that boast in themselves, that say they're the super apostles. And he says, you put up with those fools gladly since you yourselves are so wise. You're so wise to tolerate fools. And in verse 20 it says, for you put up with it if one brings you into bondage. One is put you in bondage. And then if one devours you, that means exploited you. The word there is the word for they take advantage of you with money, and they trick you and they devour you. It means to eat you out of house and home. It means to gather the fruit. It means they chop down the tree. And then in verse 20, it also says, if they devour you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, that means to push themselves forward. And then so far as to strike you in the face in verse 20. That's a description of these super apostles and the way they dealt in leadership. You learn in this book of the Bible about leadership in the church and about leadership in our family and about leadership in an organization. You know, do you bring people into bondage? Do you devour them and exploit them? By the way, all these types of leaders, you know what they do? They get rich off the people. They're what one commentator called they're the fat cats of the enterprise or of the church. And so they devour you, they exploit you, they take from you, they exalt themselves, they push themselves forward, and then so much that they even strike you on the face. It could be actual physical violence, or it could be verbal insults or browbeating. Sometimes, and Paul's being sarcastic, he says, y'all think you're so wise, and you've allowed these people to just browbeat you. You know, church family, let me say this. In your Christian life, can I tell you something? You are a follower of Jesus, and we believe in something called the priesthood of the believer. Can I tell you something? You have a relationship with Jesus yourself. Amen? Now I hope we all come in here, you hear me preach, and I share with you as best I've studied, as best I know what the text says, and I think there's a biblical pattern of a pastor doing that with a congregation. But can I tell you this? You check me out on everything. You have the Holy Spirit. Some people just want leaders that will browbeat them, and they follow them. And Paul is saying, you know, in Corinth, you're that way. He said, these people strike you in the face, and you put up with it. He's being sarcastic. He's ridiculing boasting is what he's doing. These people are boasting, and he's ridiculing. He says in verse 21, look at this. In verse 21, he says, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. That's another sarcastic. He goes, well, when I was there, I didn't browbeat you. I didn't devour you. I didn't take all your money. And he said, but y'all are wise, so wise. He said, we weren't wise enough to be that kind of leader, is what he's saying. He's being sarcastic. And he says in verse 21, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I'm bold also. He said, okay, you want me to compare myself in verse 21? I will. But he was reluctant to do it. He was reluctant to boast in verses 16 through 18. And then he was ridiculing boasting in verses 19 through 21. Then the last thing, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper, we see Paul's reality of boasting. He's going to tell some of his stories and of why he truly is an apostle. These other people are phony. You know what he's going to do? He's going to start talking about suffering. He talks about himself so often as the chief of sinners. You know, Paul called himself the chief of sinners. It's not normal for him to boast about himself. But he's saying, you people are so listening to these quote, super apostles that have put me down. Okay, I'm going to do something that I think is foolish. I'm going to compare myself to them. And he begins it, the reality of boasting in verses 20 through 22 through 25. Look at this. I want you to notice in verse 22, he says, "So am I," but then in the verses following, he says, "I am more." So he's going to show you in verse 22 the things he's equated that's equal with him and these super apostles. He says in verse 22, he says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Are they from Abraham's seed?" The apostles were that way, and evidently these super apostles went to Corinth from Palestine and from Jerusalem, and they were saying, "Look, we're the apostles. This guy's not an apostle," and they questioned Paul. Some say they did that because, you know, Paul was born Saul of what? Tarsus, which was not in that actual region right there. And so, but he says this, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He's basically saying in verse 22, everything they claim about their heritage, everything they claim about their ethnicity, everything they claim about following Jacob and following Abraham and being of the seed of Abraham, he says, "I am that." So there he begins his boasting, and he shows the things that he's equal to them in, all right? So am I. But in verse 23, 24, and 25, he shows his superiority. In verse 23, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool." In other words, he's saying, it is hard for this to come out of my mouth, but just for comparison purposes, do you call these people a minister of Christ? He goes, I'm speaking like a fool. The word fool there is to say to be beside yourself. You ever heard that phrase? He's just beside himself. That's that word. Paul says, I'm beside myself to say it. Are they ministers of Christ? In verse 23, then he says this, "I am more." And he goes into some things in labors more abundant. In labors more abundant. Paul had paid the price. He'd been on missionary journeys, and he's saying, where have these guys been? They came over here to take advantage of you. They're the fat cats that have taken your money. They've browbeat you. They've slapped you around. And he says, I'm the one that came there and planted that church from nothing. He said, as far as labor goes, work in the kingdom of God, he said, I've done more than them. I even think myself a fool to even call them a minister of Christ, but I'm gonna do that in comparison. And then he starts listing out how he is worthy of their fellowship. It says in verse 23, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In stripes. He's saying, ask them if they've suffered. He says, I've been beaten. Now he's going to talk about the lashes that he took, 39 lashes, 40 stripes minus one. He's going to talk about that here in a minute. But he's saying in this passage, he says, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequently. Ask those guys if they've suffered. Ask those guys if they've been to prison for standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you go back to Acts chapter 16, you find Paul in prison. We have an account of him and Silas in prison. And the Bible says that they beat Paul and they put him in prison. They put him in the stocks. He's saying to them, to the people, he says, this is foolish for me to boast about stuff I've done. I'm hoping to do it in a way that honors Jesus Christ. But I want you to know those people that you're following are phonies. They have not suffered one iota for the cause of Christ. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently. in deaths often. That means I faced my death many times. And then look at verse 24. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. In other words, 39 lashes. In Deuteronomy 25, it gives the report of how under the Mosaic law they were not to give more than 39 lashes. They would give 40 blows minus one. In those days, if you did something wrong that was egregious, the law said you must die. But if there was something less, then you would take your blows. You ever heard the phrase, hey, just take your punishment? Well, that comes from an idea that was in the Old Testament where they said, look, if you've not done something worthy of death, then you are to take your punishment, and then you can go on with life. Well, that's the way they did it. They didn't have jails. The idea of a penitentiary, and it came about as the way to... The idea was penance. It comes from the word penance. And the idea is if somebody does something wrong, you lock them up and they'll think about it and be sorry. That's where the idea of a penitentiary came from. Well, we know that it often doesn't work, right? But in the Old Testament, they gave lashes, and Paul says, look, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. The Mishnah codified what that Jewish law was. They said they took cowhide and they had 3 6-inch strips on the end of it, and they would whip that person with all their might to where it would wrap around their body, and they would stop at 39, and all those would leave marks on his body. So in some ways, Paul is saying to these people, he's saying, you're following all these fat cats that have not suffered at all. They've not been imprisoned. They've not been beaten. And then he takes off his shirt. And he shows them his scars. He says, I've been beaten with rods. This is what happened in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. This was a Greek way. Instead of using the strap, they would take rods and they would bind them together, multiple rods, and they would beat you with rods. And he says, in Philippi, they were beaten with rods. In Acts 14, and he says it in the text here, I was once stoned. Once I was stoned three times. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. So he was talking about being stoned. What do? They put you down on the bottom of a cliff. They throw rocks at you. And do you know that in Acts chapter 14, verse 19, they thought he was dead? You ever read that story? They stoned the Apostle Paul. They thought he was dead. He wasn't dead. And he really was. Some people say, well, maybe he was dead and the Lord raised him from the dead. I think it would be said clearly that he was risen from the dead if he had been that. I think they thought he was dead. He was left for dead. Paul is saying, I have been imprisoned. I have been given 39 lashes five times of the Jews. I've been beaten with rods. I have been stoned. These people you're following, what have they done? He says, I've been shipwrecked. It was common in those days. In verse 25, he says, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. And then he says, a night and a day I have been in the deep. He evidently, in one of those shipwrecks, held on to something floating for a day and a half in the deep water. Years ago, have you ever heard the name Amy Carmichael? Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, and she began what was called the Donover Fellowship, and it was an amazing, amazing ministry. And one time, it was our privilege to have Elizabeth Elliott in our home. Kelly fixed a wonderful meal. All our children were there. Elizabeth Elliott had just written an article that said, Five Kids in Peace. We had five kids, and she said, I'd just been somewhere in the West Coast, and there were five children, and they were so well-behaved. And we were about to have them, and we read that article. I wish I had a video of what I told my children. I said, if you so as much move. Well, we had a young girl who was 16 years old. Her name was Amy, who was our babysitter. We had her over at the house that day just to help us. And Elizabeth Elliott, who was Jim Elliott's widow, was there, and she's got interested in Amy and said, Amy, what do you want to do? She said, I think I might be called to missions. And I'll never forget, Elizabeth Elliott was married to a man named Lars Grin, and she looked at Lars, and he looked kind of nodded, and she nodded, and Elizabeth Elliott looked at that teenage girl and said, if you'll go to India in the ministry that Amy Carmichael began in Donover, we'll pay for the whole thing. That young girl was just in high school, but she saw God move and provide in a way. Well, Amy Carmichael began that ministry. And by the way, that girl ended up going to marrying a guy that went to one of our seminaries and was appointed by the IMB, and guess where they ended up? They ended up in India. He's a missions professor now. Amy Carmichael wrote a little poem called Hast Thou No Scar? Listen to these words, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. This is Hast Thou No Scar by Amy Carmichael, the missionary to India. She says, Hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascending star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archer spent, leaned me against the tree to die and rent by ravening beast that compassed me, I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound, no scar, yet as the master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me. But thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wound or scar? Paul was saying to these super Christians and to that church, why are you following these people that have never suffered? Can I tell you this? In reading this and studying this week, I feel kind of worthless. I know that suffering is happening around the world. There are people that are paying the price with their life. And I think we've seen that in our day, even in our country. But I think about, we live in a little bit more civil times. I don't know what your difficulty is. Maybe you didn't get a promotion because of your faith in Christ. Maybe you have difficulty with your family. Maybe it's something with a friendship. Maybe there's people that are actually ridiculing you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says this, "Behold, I send you out." Jesus said this, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks for you." And then in John chapter 15, verse 18, the Scripture says this, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." I'd like to ask you to bow your heads.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.